Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. And our current topic has been about forgiveness and the misbeliefs we have, and what we're doing now is going through the process of putting into effect and sort of closing out what those misbeliefs are. And in order to replace those misbeliefs with the truth about forgiveness, what we've often been taught is that forgiveness is an ongoing thing regarding sin. And what we've found out instead that forgiveness is now part of our character, part of our nature as a spirit being, that just as we love, we forgive. It's not forgiveness, just like love, has nothing to do with the person on the receiving end of either our love or forgiveness. Instead, for you and I, love and forgiveness and so many other character attributes are, because they are part of us, we give them freely. We share them with others as God flows through us. This is where we will, at some point in time, we'll also be talking about judgment and judging. But basically, what we find out is as we more and more live as a spirit being and have our identity coming from that viewpoint, and our soul and our body is affected by that, what used to bother us, what used to hurt us, what used to offend us, melts away. We don't even have to work real hard at it. It just melts away. It's not something we have to work at. It's not something we need to push down or overcome as our soulical identity is overwhelmed by our new spiritual identity. Those stumbling blocks that we had come to rely on, those interferences, are simply overcome once and for all. And then it's flat ground. There's no additional effort that we need to put into those things that are conquered. That doesn't mean that those offend, for instance, if someone is trying to manipulate you and you get over it and you learn who you are and are changed by that, that doesn't mean the other person is going to stop trying to offend you, because they got something out of it. They manipulated you through offending you, and so they're going to keep on trying, especially if it's still working on everyone else around them. Now, a little bit about offending and being offended is, if you don't care what someone else thinks about you, you can't be offended by them. And if it's put out to you that offending someone is the worst thing you could do to them, and you believe that, you're going to be controlled by them simply by them saying, that offends me. So we want to be aware of we want to become aware and perceptive of attempts at manipulation. When, just to give you an example from my own life, quite some time ago, my neighbor and I had problems with property lines, fairly common thing. But his reaction to my wanting to, you know, be clear about where his property ended and mine began was that because there were so many other things going on that was so much more important, that he was offended by me even addressing that he was violating the property line. He was offended. And his expectation was that because he was offended, that would make me back down. Now, my reaction instead was, you know, okay, I can live with that, which, you know, was surprising to him. Evidently, you know, the circles he runs in, or at least ran in, that worked. You know, when we have our feelings hurt and we expect others to change because our feelings are hurt, we are basically trying to set the rules. And especially when we're in relationships, everyone involved in those relationships needs to be in on the rule setting. So in the case of my neighbor and I, neither one of us were setting the rules, as those rules were set by law. So it didn't really matter whether I was offending him or not. Is there's a law, this is where his property ended and this is where mine began. And it didn't really matter, you know, what, if his feelings were hurt or if he was offended or if I pointed that out to him. There was a higher reality. So we look at what is at the basis of what's going on. What is the goal? What is, you know, and generally speaking, when manipulation is going on, when someone is being offended and is using that as a tactic or a weapon, and a lot of times it's not conscious, but that's one of those red flags we stop and look at and go, okay, now, you know, because very often that tactic is being used because there's no other solid ground. There's no basis, there's no other basis for relationship or, for instance, if somebody's trying to get you to do something, rather than ask or convince or explain, other tactics are used. And so we want to be aware that, okay, maybe instead of giving me the information I need to make a correct decision, this person is instead just trying to get me to make that decision based on the strength of his arguments of his feelings are hurt or being offended. So something for you to think about as you especially move forward into the holidays, because especially in families, there's very often, because there's such a variety of temperaments, there's very often someone who gets their way based on either emotion or the strength of their character, their temperament. In other words, if there's somebody that, you know, that the world revolves around, you know, if they're ready to eat, everybody has to be ready to eat. If they're done, everybody's done. If they want to watch something on TV, everybody has to watch something on TV, the same thing on TV. So you want to start seeing and maybe even looking for opportunities to push that a little and ask, well, okay, there's, you know, 12 people in the room. You're the only one who wants to watch football. Why? Explain again why we all have to watch football. And, you know, just have a little fun with it. You know, and again, you know, what do we do? We are often not doing others a favor by letting them get away with manipulating through being offended or through the strength of their emotion. The more we allow that, the stronger it becomes in them. And each one of us, the strengths that we have and the weaknesses, we will always find a stumbling block for that. So it doesn't matter if it's always been that way, it's always worked that way. At some point in time, just as there'll always come along someone who is more easily offended or who is stronger. And if we have allowed those we love to just continue on in the way they have been, for instance, keep up, you know, let them be the one to decide. No, that's just a trivial example. But if we find out that that's just the greatest example that, okay, this is how they win. This is enjoyment for them, even if it's, you know, takes away the enjoyment for everyone else. That's something that we're not doing them any favors by letting them be the decision maker. Now, a lot of times you know, and I'm not saying, okay, make a stand on something as trivial as, you know, a football game or who's going to watch what on TV. But it gives you a good indicator, a good start, perhaps opens our eyes to what is going on in the rest of their life. This may be the only time they get their way. You know, I'll do this, I'll go to your mother's for Thanksgiving as long as you let me watch football. Part of these things is negotiation, and if that's the way you get that way, that's fine. But the whole point is that if one person, or in any relationship, or even in passing relationships, if you're feeling like you're being manipulated, you probably are. So you want to become aware of that and not just stifle those emotions because of the strength of the other person, and not just emotions but responses, and not just stifle that reaction because the other person has a good reason for it or they're in a position of authority. Just because a person is in a position of authority doesn't make them right. And there may be times when you need to point that out, you know, appropriate to that situation, or make other decisions yourself about whether that's the right place for you. So getting back to forgiveness, what we find is forgiveness or withholding forgiveness can also be a tool for manipulation. I remember for myself, there were plenty of times when people, you know, I've been involved in ministry and for quite some time, and there's been this manipulating tactic that I've noticed quite frequently. And it's all about asking for forgiveness rather than asking for permission. There's the saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And that's just a cop-out. That doesn't, if you go into something, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll just ask for forgiveness. And because they're a Christian, they're going to have to forgive me so I can get away with it. Okay? And you and I, since we are learning about forgiveness, what forgiveness truly is, we need to be able to nip that in the bud. So, you know, forgiveness, and the response to that is, this has nothing to do with forgiveness. This has to do with inappropriate behavior. And that I'm going to hold you accountable for. And this is where the judgment comes in, about we are to judge our behavior. It's not about the person. It's about their behavior. Okay, so maybe there's someone in your life right now that's doing that, that's using forgiveness to, you know, we hear it all the time, especially in, you know, Christian relationships where infidelity is involved or abuse of any kind. You know, I didn't really mean it. I love you. You have to forgive me. And because you're a good Christian, or maybe you're the one on the giving end of this, because you're a good Christian, you feel like I have to forgive them. Well, because you're a Christian, absolutely, you do forgive them. It has nothing to do with them. But you don't excuse their behavior. Okay? That's the, you don't buy into the manipulation that forgiveness means they get away with bad behavior. All they're doing is using that just like any other tool for manipulation. They're using God the way it's been presented as a way to get you to do what they want you to do. And what you need to learn how to do, sometimes it can be very hard because sometimes our relationships are built around games. And change is hard. And the bigger the change, the harder it is. And the more personal the change, the greater effect it can have in our lives. But it is worth it because you want to live free. You don't want to be bound by these games. And even though there are consequences and effects to change, we want to live with those and deal with those rather than give in to that bondage. Because that's really what we're talking about especially when we willingly abide by games and play these games. We aren't doing them any favors. We aren't doing ourselves any favors. We're teaching others in our circle how to treat us, that we don't matter, that it's okay to be treated like this, that you'll accept it. And especially if there are children involved, you're teaching them this is how to treat other people. You can manipulate them simply by saying, you know, doing something wrong and then just saying, but you have to forgive me. You know, and then when you try to, what will come up next is you try to hold them accountable. And they say, well, I thought you forgave me. If you forgave me, you wouldn't be holding me accountable for this. And you just remind them, no, you're mixing up the two. I have forgiven you. I forgave you 2,000 years ago. But I don't accept your behavior. And we agreed that you would stop doing this. So, and then if you don't, here we agreed that this is what the consequences would be, and we're putting those consequences into effect. Now, again, that comes from a place of confidence, that you know what your identity is as a son of God. And you have been taught by him. your identity, your value, and the true meaning of forgiveness and judging. And this distinction, of course, between intent, motivation, and behavior. Why someone does it is really none of your business. It's what they do that is your business. That's the difference between judging and being judgmental. If I say, well, you know, if I just accuse someone of being manipulative and, you know, and mean, and you just want to get the other upper hand in this situation, well, all I'm doing is trying to accuse according to my perception of their motivations. But instead, if I say, you said you'd finish this project, you didn't, for whatever reason, you can't continue to work here anymore. Those are two separate things. It doesn't really matter why the project wasn't finished. Whether he was trying to make me look bad, or he has problems at home, those are mitigating factors for the consequences. But the reality of the situation needs to be clear. And that's based on behavior, not intent. Oh, I meant to get it done. Meant to just doesn't cut it. And so we want to have an understanding of where forgiveness enters into the process. We don't forgive because they ask for it, because they deserve it, because they're offended. We forgive because 2,000 years ago we became a forgiving person. So we've been going through the process of the steps of how to forgive others. And our last part of our homework that hopefully you've been working on. So I started to believe that. So here are the stages that we've been through. First, you name the person. And you do this on paper because you're going to sign and date it. And when you do that, you have finished with that issue with that person. Okay? So you name that person. Oh, Joe, it hurt me when you lied to me. Okay, you fill in the blank. It hurt me when you fill in the blank. And it made me feel blank. It made me feel like I couldn't trust you. I had thought that if you loved me, you would fill in the blank. You would have told me the truth. So I started to believe that, fill in the blank. So I started to believe that I can't trust you at all. Okay? So go through each person that we talked about letting the Lord bring to the surface, those you need to forgive. And this is a one-time only thing. You're going to do this, and then you're going to shut the door on these issues. But we also want to understand that forgiving them does not excuse behavior. Okay? I recognize that despite my feelings and beliefs, I am now a forgiving person by my new identity. And I forgive you for hurting me. I realize it is not your responsibility for meeting my needs for love, acceptance, and value. I release you unconditionally from being accountable to explain why you did what you did. Okay, let's just stop there for a second. I realize it is not your responsibility for meeting my needs for love, acceptance, and value. When we can truly say that, in that situation, we have, shall we say, taken our power back. Because when someone, when we feel we need someone else to fulfill a need we have, they have power over us. When we feel someone else needs us, we have power over them. So as we recognize that all of our spiritual needs have already been met, and God himself meets all our soulical needs and our natural needs. Now, just as in the natural, he meets them through natural means, and our soulical needs, he meets through soulical means. For instance, relationships. But he has taken responsibility for getting your needs met. And we go to him about that. That doesn't mean we don't work and don't make money and don't buy food and don't cook it and put it in our mouths. But we go to him to find out when we're having problems in those areas, how do we solve this? We go to him first. So, let me just read that first paragraph again. I recognize that despite my feelings and beliefs, I am now a forgiving person by my new identity. And I forgive you for hurting me. Because really, that's what it's all about. I realize it is not your responsibility for meeting my needs for love, acceptance, and value. And I release you unconditionally from being accountable to explain why you did what you did. Then next, we just want to, again, address this person, Joe. Because I am loved, valued, and honored by my Father, I also make myself vulnerable to be hurt by you again, giving you the freedom to make mistakes. And I will respond according to the life that is now flowing through me. You are not accountable to me, and I don't expect or need you to change. Okay? Now, there's a lot in there, and we'll probably continue talking about that this paragraph, this section, next week as well. For now, let's just read it again. Joe, because I am loved, valued and honored by my Father, I can also make myself vulnerable to be hurt by you again. Okay? One of the things we recognize is that when God has placed us in a relationship, it's for his purpose. It's not just so we will have things nice and easy. Okay? It's so we will be forced to go to him for strength and patience and how to learn to be who we now are. We don't like to change on our own, so he leaves us in situations where we have to rely on him for that change, to rely on him for our needs to be met. So there are times when he will leave us, for instance, in a bad job. You know, we don't leave until he says it's time to leave. In a bad relationship. Now, unless there's something, you know, if there's anything going on that's breaking the law, there's no option. You get out of there. Okay? If there's any danger or any, you know, abuse of any kind, that's not even something you need God's go-ahead on it. Those are all damaging and dangerous. And you can just go ahead and that's not something you need to take. So we're going to have to pick this up next week. And I will not be doing a show either Thursday or Saturday. So I'll be taking some time off from this program, but I will still be available via email if you have any questions, and will still be available on the blog. So you can still get in touch with me if you need to over the holiday season. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great Thanksgiving.